You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. The polls are open and the exit pollsters are lurking.
My name is Francine. I'm calling from New York City. I got to the polls just as it opened at 6 o'clock, and there was already a line. I was walking my dog, and they even let me bring my dog in and tie her inside the polling place.
Tell us your democracy dog stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. We are live across the country. Adora Udoji is in Atlanta, Georgia. Andrea Bernstein, The Takeaway's political director, is here in New York. And we're continuing to talk with places in key states that are seeing extraordinary turnouts and also are looking at races that are probably going to be key to what happens tonight nationally. Dan Malthrop is the host of WCPN's Sound Ideas from Cleveland Public Radio's public radio station in Cleveland. And Rob Christensen is chief political reporter for Raleigh News and Observer. Rob, where are you right now?
I am in a voting place in a suburb of Raleigh called Cary. It is a town of about 120,000. It's for the fast-growing high-tech area in the Research Triangle Park, and it's an affluent area. I'm in a church, Fellowship of Christ, and this is the area that Obama hopes to do well in. It is an area with a lot of people have come in from other parts of the country. In fact, Cary is spelled C-A-R-Y, and it's the joke is it stands for Containment Area for Relocated Yankees. So it is a an area that is open to change. I'm in the middle of it.
I'm an observer, sir. Oh, I can leave the polling place now.
hold on there, Rob. While you get arrested, we're going to talk to Dan Malthrop. Dan, where are you exactly?
By the polling place. I'm in the parking lot outside the Addison Branch Public Library in the Huff neighborhood of Cleveland.
And Dan, don't go inside, okay? You can get in serious trouble. All right,
yeah,
thank you.
I know. But, you know, this is the place where in 2004 there were huge lines. You remember Fannie Lewis, a Cleveland councilwoman, died earlier this year. In 2004, she spent the entire day fighting to get the Board of Elections to bring more voting equipment down here because there were lines out the door. A documentary was made about that. And there's a documentary crew here right now, actually, interviewing voters. I've also seen, I've visited about four or five different polling places in the last 2 hours, and at every one, there are Obama volunteers, a so-called line manager, comfort workers, all of these people. They're coming in from all over the country to just make sure that people are casting their vote and know how to vote. And there's a little confusion about these paper ballots in Cuyahoga County. They're helping them work out that confusion, but obviously are putting a good face on the Obama campaign for anybody who might be doubting. But that's really not an issue in this blue corner of Ohio.
Well, let's talk about the poll workers and the infrastructure. I mean, as that documentary you referred to spoke about, it was really the poorly educated staff, there needed to be double the number of people. How do they have it deployed today?
At that time, we had electronic voting machines in the state, and since then, the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections has had entire staff leadership turnover at the very top. The board members and the director are all new. We also have new voting equipment and new procedures for training poll workers and all of that. I talked to Candace Hoke, who runs the Center for Election Integrity, this morning, and that's at Cleveland State University. She's more or less like Ohio's chief independent poll observer. She said she's never seen things go better in Cuyahoga County than they're going today.
Well, that's good.
100% of the polls were open on time. They're all staffed. They're 100% capacity. They had lost a few, about 100 poll workers who couldn't make it. They were quickly filled, replaced with reserves. They're really doing they appear so far to be doing a much better job than they ever have in the past.
All right, Rob Christensen down in the suburbs of Raleigh. Are you doing okay down there? Did you get a little trouble?
Okay. They asked me to leave right in the middle of the conversation, so I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Right now we're seeing it's raining here in North Carolina, and there actually are no lines, but there's a reason for that. is that we have early voting in North Carolina, and 2.5 million people have already voted as of last Saturday when the early voting period closed. That is 41% of the registered voters. So there has already been a tremendous turnout in North Carolina, and so we're not seeing the huge lines. We saw the lines earlier. For example, Saturday, which was the last day for early voting, people typically waited an hour to vote, but in some places it was as much as 3 hours. So the long lines were there for the early voting. Now, we can, there's a couple things we can say about the early voting. One is that it's been heavily Democratic, which suggests that that the Obama organization, which has a massive organization in the state, has been very effective in getting out the vote. We expect that today's voting will be lean a little more Republican than the early voting because they didn't have the kind of organization in the state that Obama does.
Well, what about the Senate race there, Rob? I mean, any chance that there'll be a kind of a counter wave in support of the Republican Senate candidate?
Well, right now it looks like that that there is some Obama coattails here that may work against the incumbent Republican Senator Elizabeth Dole. The race is close, but Dole has been behind in most of the polls, so it looks like she may be in some trouble right now, in part because she was very tied to President Bush in the White House. She was recruited to run for the seat in 2002 by the White House, and in 2002, President Bush campaigned for her in the state 5 times, which is more than any other candidate in the country except for his brother Jeb Bush that year. And so she certainly is feeling the national tide and the skepticism about Bush and the hard economy
and definitely that's under siege. She didn't even make it to the Republican convention. We should remind people there are 15 electoral votes there in North Carolina. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Rob Christensen, chief political reporter for the Raleigh News and Observer. Dan Malthrop, there are 20 electoral votes at stake in Ohio. You want to give us a quick last word?
Well, it's anybody's guess as to how Ohio's going to which way Ohio's going to swing tonight, and it's anybody's guess about whether or not the count will actually come in tonight, or will we be waiting until tomorrow morning? So,
well, it's your guess there in Cleveland. I'm sure you're going to have to be talking about it between now and the late hours when they finally figure out what's going on there in Ohio. Dan Malthrop, host of WCPN Sound Ideas in Cleveland, at a neighborhood at the Addison Branch Public Library in the Huff neighborhood of Cleveland. Thanks, Dan.
Great talking to you, John.
Andrea?
What amazes me about Ohio is it's still everybody's considering it a toss-up state. It seems so close. When you look at the differences between the Obama campaign and the Kerry campaign, the Obama campaign has spent so much more money. He's organizing in all of the counties in the state as opposed to 3 for John Kerry. And he's turning out these huge crowds. And yet it remains neck and neck.
Right. Will organization work? And where does that organization go after this election? Again, that is the story.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.